that are common here in the United States and other places in the world. And when you think of Christmas, what do you think of? I had some of our artists here in our church draw some simple drawings of some Christmas symbols, and I want to show you a couple of them. Anybody can tell what's this Christmas symbol?
Tree.
Yeah, it's a tree, a Christmas tree. Tomorrow, our family's going to put up our Christmas tree. And our daughter just sent us pictures of our granddaughter, who's only 7 months old. This is her first Christmas in front of her Christmas tree. Another thing that we think of when we, this is a more detailed Christmas tree. You might want to take a look at this one later. This is really a cool one. But another type of thing that we think of when we think about Christmas is, what's this? Presents. Christmas presents. And all of these different kinds of symbols, we'll show a few more later, remind us of Christmas, and actually Christmas symbols are good if we understand Christmas in the right way. What is Christmas all about? Sometimes when people come here from other countries, they may be somewhat confused. And I have a friend who is a Filipina. She has been living in Vietnam for many years. And a few years ago, she attended a Christmas service. And at this Christmas service, this is some of the things that she saw when she went saw a Christmas service. This is my friend Judy. She's a Filipina Christian, and as she teaches her business English classes in Vietnam, she also testifies about Jesus and his love for other people. One day she went to a church in Vietnam, and they had some traditional Christmas hymns that everybody sang together, and then at the same service, they invited in 8 or more Santa Claus to go to the front of the church. And Santa Claus in church, does that sound kind of weird to you? But for perhaps some of the Vietnamese Christians or other people there, Santa Claus was kind of a main symbol of Christmas. And I kind of think they're a little confused about what Christmas is all about. Actual Christmas symbols and customs can point us to the real reason for what Christmas is all about, however. So let's pray, and I think we'll learn of 3 symbols of Christmas to help us learn what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your good, for your love for us, for sending your Son Jesus from heaven to earth to come here to die on the cross for our sins, to be born as a child, to understand our lives and to understand everything that we live through as human beings. We pray that we might understand the true meaning of Christmas and make it real in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
When we think of Christmas, one of the things we think of is Christmas is a gift. And this was a very beautiful picture of gifts drawn in a very short time. I'm amazed. And people who oftentimes wrap gifts, they'll go to places like Penny's or other stores, and they'll have somebody wrap up those gifts for them to make them look really, really beautiful. Well, sometimes when people give gifts to one another, especially their brother or sister, family members, sometimes gifts can be kind of funny. We have a college student we want to welcome back from college today, Jessica, and we're glad to see her back today. Are there any other college students that are back here for today? So this one young man, when he went to college, he wasn't able to come home for Christmas, and so his mom and dad sent him a Christmas gift. This is what his Christmas gift looked like. Perhaps you can see inside there's a bag of Swedish fish and soup and a pair of warm socks and all of those other things. I'm not sure that this young man really, this is what he expected for Christmas, but this is what his mother and father thought he would appreciate. Now, the next 2 gifts were given by family members. Somebody said, I want something for Christmas. And so see if you can guess, well, especially I think our young people will do especially well on this. What gift did this person want for Christmas? This is what his mom and dad gave him. You figure out what that is?
Yeah, we're getting there.
So pretending this the Beats.
Beats headphones. Yes, that's right. These are Beats headphones. Okay. A husband wanted a special gift for his birthday. I mean, for Christmas. He wanted this very special, popular gift for Christmas. So this is what his wife got him. What did his wife buy him for Christmas? Apple Watch. Yeah, she got him an Apple Watch. So there's all sorts of strange kinds of gifts that people give to one another. Giving gifts reminds us of some of the special Christmas and reminds us of the original and the greatest Christmas gift. The world's greatest Christmas gift was Jesus, who when God gave his own son. So the gifts, the tradition that we have of giving gifts is actually a good thing as it reminds us of the very first Christmas gift. Now, you know, many children do not take good care of their Christmas gifts, especially young boys. You know, sometimes you'll give them a gift, and by the end of Christmas Day, it's all broken. Or maybe you'll give them some clothes, and by the time they get back from school the next week, the zipper's broken or something gets messed up. And you know, what happens with children is when children break something, they don't fix it themselves. And they don't go out and buy a new one. It's up to their father or mother to take care of those gifts and to help to fix the things that they have broken. You know, the very first human beings, Adam and Eve, were given the special gift, the freedom to choose. And they used their gifts, however, in the wrong way. Adam and Eve, tempted by Satan in the form of a serpent, ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they used their freedom in the wrong way. And because of their sin, they brought sin and shame and death to the world. All of the different types of things and the tragedies that we have in our lives, the aging, hurting knees, my mother-in-law cannot walk without pain. The difficulties that we have even in our plant and animal world, the anger and fighting and trouble that we see all around the world was the result of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve's sin not only brought physical death to the world, but it brought spiritual death as well. When Adam began to sin, his body began to die, but also he and his wife Eve were separated from God. Adam failed the simple test that was given him by the Father. He ignored the Father's loving commandments. And ever since, even until today, our will, our emotions, our decisions are corrupted. The Father showed Adam and Eve that there had to be a way to pay for sin. You'll notice here in the picture, Adam and Eve were given coats of skin in order for them to cover their bodies. Now, these coats of skin remind us that apparently God had to kill an innocent animal to be able to cover Adam and Eve with clothing. These sacrifices remind us that there is no other payment for sin but blood and death. During the Old Testament years, God provided animal sacrifices as well. These animal sacrifices, a man would place his hand on the head of an innocent animal, and he would say, "God, please accept the sacrifice of this innocent animal in my place." The sheep or other animal would be killed, its body would be burned on the altar as a witness to people over and over again that the payment for sin is death. And so over and over again, through the years, many animals were sacrificed. For men, the penalty for sin is hell, being eternally separated from God. But in the 3 hours that Jesus, on the cross, suffered for our sins, he was able to take upon himself all of the sins of the world. Only he could do that because he was God's Son given to us. How could Jesus, only one man, pay for the sins of the world? Simply because he was God. And John 4:14 tells us, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, anyone who is a parent, are there any parents here, mothers or fathers, or any parents here? Lots of us are parents. And none of us want to see our children suffer. We try to do everything that we can to help them. I just bought some warm clothes for my grandson, and I bought some socks, don't tell him, for Christmas. And we got him some ski clothing because we want him to be warm. Did anybody else buy something warm for their children this Christmas? I'm sure many of you did. So we don't want our children to suffer. How much more it must have hurt our Heavenly Father to see people suffer by being separated from Him. And so God was willing from heaven to send His own Son to earth so that we, His other children, would not suffer eternal separation from God. Romans 8:31b-32 tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? God sent His Son, His most valuable, you couldn't call it a thing, something that was the most valuable to Him, His own Son, down to earth that first Christmas day to be an offering for sin, to pay for our sins. And God does not lack resources. Sometimes on Christmas, people don't receive a whole lot of Christmas gifts. Some trees are rather bare underneath, or people can't even afford a Christmas tree because they don't have enough money. There are other people whose Christmases are very sad because of broken relationships, and that's really sad. I just listened to a song this week called "I Always Cry at Christmas." So there are many people who remember happy Christmases in the past who now are sad because they think of their broken relationships. Some don't give gifts because their hearts are cold. But God is not poor that He cannot give to people. And His heart is not cold that He is not willing to give to us. He gave us His Son. And also, if maybe you are praying for something, you have already accepted the gift of Jesus Christ into your life, maybe you're praying for some goal that you have in life, maybe a partner in life, maybe you're praying for a different job or for a situation to be resolved. God is concerned for you. If God gave His Son, how much more also will He give us everything that we need?
Amen.
In order to receive the gift of salvation that God offers, you must believe. John 1:10-12 tells us this. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God.
Amen.
Jesus came into his own people, the Jewish people. He was received by many of them, but certainly not the majority of His own people received Him. Though He came to give His life as an offering for sin, that does not mean automatically that people are saved. One must receive the gift of Jesus in order for him to be a person to receive also eternal life and become part of God's family. I don't know if it happened to you. Many Christmases, maybe later in January sometime, I will be cleaning out my closet and my mouth will open. Oh no. There's a Christmas gift that I forgot. That might happen to you. That ever happened to anybody? I've forgotten Christmas gifts before. Oh, I forgot to give this Christmas gift. Or maybe there was a little envelope that had some money in it in the back of the tree, and somehow it fell down and nobody got that Christmas gift. What a terrible tragedy that people didn't get that gift. Ah, It's a far greater tragedy that God gave his only son, but that people should reject him and not take the gift that Jesus gives. Have you received the gift of eternal life? Do you know that you are part of God's family? Have you trusted that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? That is the greatest Christmas gift that anyone could receive. And I'd urge you, if you've not received that gift, to receive that gift. Perhaps you're praying for your loved ones this Christmas season. Maybe they have not received the gift of Jesus. This would be a good time to talk with them about how they could trust Jesus as their Savior. And today, if you would like to stay afterwards, if you have not received the gift of Jesus, you have not received Him as your Savior, Pastor Jen, myself, any of the leaders, many of our Christian leaders would be very welcome to talk with you. Please talk with one of us. It would be so sad if you were to reject the gift of eternal life and not to receive that. Much more sad than not being able to get a Christmas gift. Christmas is about a gift, Jesus. And Christmas is also about travel. People are willing to go through many difficult experiences in order to be with their family on the holidays. Many of you come from China, and you know how many people get in trains to travel home for Spring Festival. I have not been there during Spring Festival, but I understand that there's standing room only inside many of the trains that travel to take their families back to the province so that they can celebrate Spring Festival together. In America, we oftentimes have snow-covered airports where people are stuck for days, not able to be able to get home for Christmas because of the weather. Heather Thompson, a young lady from Canada, a student in a college in Canada, wrote about a special Christmas gift that she gave. Heather's sister was in Australia, and she was graduating from college just a few days before Christmas. Heather's Christmas vacation began, but it began a couple of days too late for Heather to be able to travel to be with her sister during her graduation. She wrote a letter to the college, and she was so surprised that she was permitted to leave a few days earlier. That hardly ever happened. She was so excited. She says, "I'm going to be at my sister's graduation. Now, what could I do to make this graduation special?" And she said, "I know. I could knock on her door, and she'd be surprised to see I'm all the way here from Canada." "No, I know, I think of something better. I could be delivered by our Australian postal delivery service in a box in her front door." She contacted an Australian FedEx, and after talking with the manager, she was able to get the manager to agree. When she arrived in the airport in Australia, she was met by two delivery people with a huge box. And she, as they got close, about a block away, they put her inside the box. The delivery people knocked on her door, and she was surprised as these two men brought this huge box and set it down in front of her door. And Heather says, "I was waiting inside." And when she finally opened the top of the box and she looked down, there was her older sister. Oh, the expression on her face of surprise and joy is a gift that I received that we will treasure forever. Heather traveled all the way from Canada to Australia in a special trip and was even able to be delivered in a box because she wanted to be with the person, one of their family members that she loved so much, her sister. God promised repeatedly that he would send his son to earth. He promised through the different prophets, like the prophet Isaiah, that he would send his Christmas gift to earth. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 was a prophecy given 1,000 years before Jesus was born. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Son of God, was given to us to help to lead the world. He was given peacefully. Our world, as Dr. Wei-Lin mentioned earlier, is a troubled place. There's lots of conflict and difficulty all over our world. Can you go to any country where people are not having conflicts and problems, power struggles and difficulties? It happens all over the world because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to bring peace between people, and also to bring peace to our entire earth. Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth because that was only the gift of heaven that could bring peace here on our earth. Someday Jesus will come again to rescue our world and to become the Prince of Peace. He will govern our world. Then our news will not be filled with news of war and struggle, fighting and murder. Instead, our news will only be about peace. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is a gift. Jesus. Travel from heaven to earth, and family. Christmas is also about family. My favorite Christmas gift was a gift that I received in December 2013. We had a terrible typhoon in the Philippines. And during this typhoon, our home was wrecked. We had about a third of our roof taken away. Our home was filled with almost 6 feet of water. We lost most of our possessions. It was really, really tough. That happened while we were here in Richland. And I returned to the Philippines because by myself, I left Aline here in the United States because I knew that our home would be badly damaged and that she would have a very difficult time if she came back with me. After God was gracious to me, I found a man to be a carpenter to help me. We found roofing materials almost miraculously. God provided what we needed, but it was a terrible, difficult time living in a trash heap and having gunshots at night. It was a very, very hard time for me. But there at the end of the month of December, we had a roof on our house, our front door would lock, and I was able to bring Aline back from the United States. And I remember meeting her at the airport. And flying, we flew off to Manila and then on to another place. And I can remember sitting beside her and holding her hand and thinking, this is the best Christmas gift I ever had, to be with my wife again after this tragedy. Most of the time, people travel on Christmas to see their family. Being with our loved ones makes all the difference and makes all the difficulty of travel worth it. We oftentimes travel to see our daughter in Connecticut or our son who lives in Florida. But Jesus was sent by the Father on a trip to rescue the world. He was sent to rescue his own people, the Jewish people, first. And the Bible says that Jesus came, and Paul, his mission was first to the Jew. We naturally have a greater concern for our own people, family first, and then the people who are like our family. But from the very beginning of time, the Bible tells the story of Jesus as the Savior not only of his own people, but of the world. We can see that in the Christmas story. Jesus appeared to Jewish shepherds, but he also appealed to non-Jewish or Gentile wise men. And those two major groups of people in our Christmas story remind us of why Jesus traveled from heaven to earth, for his own people and also for people who were not his own. There was a man who was a centurion. He was a Roman captain. He was a member of the occupying army of Rome. An enemy army had taken over Jesus' country. It was not a happy time to live there. And most of the soldiers were looked upon as enemies. But there was one and more men who were centurions, captains of many other soldiers, who were concerned about the Jewish people. They came to admire the Jewish people because they knew that the reason why these people were good because of their God. One of them, a centurion, helped the Jewish people in his town. He even built their synagogue, which is like a church. He came to Jesus one day and he said, "Jesus, my servant is sick. Would you heal him?" And Jesus said, "I will go to your house." Now, it was very much against Jewish tradition for a Jew to go into the home of somebody who was non-Jew, a Gentile. They would feel like they were unclean. And so this man knew Jewish customs. He says, no, Jesus, you do not need to come to my house. And you know, I am a man under authority. I say to, and I also give authority. I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to this man, come, and he comes. He says, "I know that whatever you do and whatever you want is going to happen." And I think we could add, "Even the sickness will obey you, Jesus, if you tell it to go." And Jesus' mouth dropped. And he said, "I have not seen such great faith even in my own country and among my own people." And he said to the centurion, "Go home. Your servant is healed." And he turned to the Jewish people around him and he said, "You know, there are many of our own people who are supposed to be in heaven with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but there are some of our people, because of their lack of faith, that will not enter heaven, even though I was sent as the Messiah. But this man, who is not one of our people, he will be sitting down at that heavenly banquet with our ancestors, because he has a faith in the same God." So Jesus came not only for his own people, but for others as well. I believe that God has used the people here at TCCAC to be a great light to the Chinese people in this area. Whenever God has given us a wonderful building right on the way to PNNL. And so as people drive there, so many of people from China will see our church. Many of you have participated in our Friday fellowship, in which you're reaching out to people who are new from PNNL and other places as well, particularly Taiwan, mainland China, and other Chinese-speaking areas. God has used this church in a wonderful, wonderful way. The Roman centurion was drawn to the Jews of his town and came to worship their God and believe in their Messiah, Jesus. And there are also people here who attend this church who are not Chinese. There are people like the Karen family who came here because of the influence of their Chinese Christian neighbors. There's people like the Hampton family who are now serving with us as English teachers. There are others as well who are coming regularly to our English service. You know, I'm wondering if there are people who attend regularly our Chinese service who are looking for a challenge, who would be interested in helping to reach the non-Chinese people around us. Just like this man, the centurion, was drawn to the God of the Jews, would there be some people who would be willing for perhaps a year, who would be willing to come and to join us? Would people here, oops, let me see if this is going to work here, during Christmas, would there be people who would be willing to attend the English service for a year and invite maybe people who are English-speaking people to come? You know, it's difficult sometimes to grow our English-speaking people service. One reason is because we have many young people, and we have a lot of people over 60, and we have very few people in the middle. And if one or two families would be willing to attend, even for a year, like some of our others, that I think would be a great impetus and help in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to learn how to evangelize people from another culture? Many of you are very skilled in demonstrating the gospel to Chinese-speaking Christian people. But some of you have a hard time talking to people who were born in America because it's kind of difficult to understand the culture and what will appeal to people born in America. We have a seminar called the Bridge Seminar that will help you to learn how to share the gospel with people who are not like you, who didn't grow up in the same country where you grew up. And we'd love to have an opportunity to share through that seminar and to train you to help you to reach not only people who have come here from China and Taiwan, but also people who are born here in the United States. As you know, in some ways, some of America's churches are smaller than they used to. Many ethnic churches, like our Chinese church, are growing. And God has sent perhaps you here to America to help to evangelize people who were born here.
Amen.
Just like the centurion.
That's right.
One of the greatest witnesses to the reality of the Christian faith is when people from different lands are brought together as a family.
Yes.
It's normal we say, oh, these people are from that country, they're from India, they're Hindu, you know, they're from Saudi Arabia, they're Muslim. But when we see people from all sorts of different lands and cultures come together, people say, there must be something very special about Jesus, and there must be something very special about Christians. By this, Jesus said, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. What's Christmas all about? Well, it's about gifts. Yeah, that's true. The gift of Christ. And it's also about the manger where Jesus was born. It's about celebration. Christmas. And one of our young people drew this picture. And can you see what's on the picture?
Let me bring it down. What a great picture. There's a Christmas tree here. And there's a family gathered around here. Christmas is about family. And also, there's gifts. I wonder if she read my sermon ahead of time. But, all in all, Christmas is about the cross. Christmas is about when Jesus came to earth
to die for our sins and to rise again. The greatest Christmas symbol is the cross.
Amen.
I'm going to listen to a video right now called It's About the Cross. And in your bulletin, if you're not an English speaker, there is a translation of this song into Chinese. You may want to sing along, but listen to the message of this song. It's about the cross.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. About the presents underneath the tree. It's not all about the feeling.
Christmas season. It's not just about coming home to be with those you love. Oh, it's not all about the beauty in the snow I'm dreaming of. It's about the cross. So that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away, so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross, the beginning. Why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's love built to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
Christmas. It's about the cross.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I pray that if there are people here who have not yet believed that you, Jesus, died for their own sin, I pray that even today they would come to talk with me, with one of our other leaders, someone who knows, a friend who knows Jesus. They will ask, how can I receive God's Christmas gift today? How can I receive Jesus into my life? And how can I have the greatest Christmas gift that ever came? Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming from heaven to earth, far more difficult than traveling across the world, far more difficult than traveling on a train. You came from a beautiful, holy place to our sin-filled world. We thank you that you did not leave our world the same, that you came to bring Prince, to be the Prince of Peace, and that you bring peace in the hearts of people who trust you and follow you. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to the manger and for coming to the cross. And help us to never forget that when it comes to Christmas, it's about the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jim, for your message. 谢谢啊 ，Jim 牧师给我们带来的信息。啊，那首先提醒一下，在程序单上就是我们会有一些改动。今天是12月1号，所以我刚才看我的手表还是31号，所以可能预备程序单的时候没有 realize 到今天是的第一个主日有圣餐，所以等一下我们唱完回应诗歌之后是圣餐。圣餐再有一个短短的，我们唱这个何等恩典的副歌之后，再有这个为奉献祷告。所以 so the there will be a communion service after our response song， 就是我们刚才也是刚听到建牧师所说到的，这个 Christmas 最重要的是关于耶稣基督从天上降到来到人间，最后为我们死在十字架上，成为我们的。